Oh, happy Easter. We recorded this last night, though, on Friday night or on Saturday night, though. So if you're listening to it, hopefully you're having a good holiday with your family. Or if it's Monday morning that you're listening, hopefully you had a good holiday yesterday. Richie, how's your weekend been so far?
Good. Been pretty quiet. I got a couple of racks of lamb that, you know, I'm going to prepare for Easter. I was debating prime rib, rack of lamb, or leg of lamb. I went with the racks because I just liked how they looked at Publix. So the butcher Frenched them up nice for me, and I cannot wait to try them later today if you're listening on Easter Sunday.
You look like a rack man, so that kind of makes sense. All right, yeah, good weekend so far. before we get in trouble on Easter. Yeah, shout out Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Appreciate them for all of their support. Appreciate every time we're in town, them taking care of us with different events. Every time we've gone out of town from Charlotte to New Orleans to just, you know, wherever, Clemson, we, you know, them getting us taken care of. So we appreciate Orlando. It doesn't matter where we do an event. Guthrie seems to follow. Still haven't figured out the Ireland thing, but we're working on it. We'll see if we can make it happen or not. But we appreciate them. Richie, let's jump right into it. Florida State had a scrimmage this week, their first scrimmage of the spring. I got a little bit of info that I want to talk about. We put a lot of this in our Discord, put it on Patreon as well. So if you haven't joined there, the links are in the description. Got this information like as the scrimmage was happening. So we were able to update this live and then just haven't had a moment really to jump on and do a video. So I figured I'd wait till we did the podcast and then throw this out as its own clip. But Richie, I'll talk with you a little bit about some of the scrimmage stuff and then we will we'll kind of roll from there and I'll get some of your thoughts on it. We'll start at the top, right? We won't bury the lead. DJU looks really, really confident. Certainly looks the part, looks like he's been there, done that, very mature. Doesn't have a full grasp of the offense yet, made some mistakes. I mean, certainly could have been a little sharper, but for a first scrimmage seemed pretty impressed, with him. Again, I don't think he went out and lit the world on fire. I also don't think there was any kind of cause for concern or any kind of worry about his performance. But what I was told, and I know that there have been some folks who have hyped up quarterback battles in the past. I was basically told there is no quarterback battle. Like, I know people thought, like, oh, maybe Brock could come in and really push for it. Brock could really do a good job. And I do think that Brock is going to be a very, very capable backup and be very good for this team. But from what I've been told, just looking at one scrimmage, there is no real look between the two to make you think that this might be a battle. Do you have any thoughts there, Richie?
Yeah, I think you don't bring a guy like DJ Uiagalelei into Tallahassee unless you think he's going to be the starter, right? You don't bring somebody in for quarterback competition when you have a Brock Glenn and a Luke Cromanhawk who's just came in. It sounds like he's actually impressed as well as a true freshman. But yeah, DJ, I'm really excited for him. You know, I saw he's up to 255 pounds now. You know, Mike loves going for it on fourth down, TJ. So I don't be surprised to see DJ getting a lot of carries on those fourth and shorts, third and shorts, whatever it may be. But, you know, coming into spring, you know, obviously, if you're Mike Norvell, you want this to be an open competition, right? You want to preach competition. But at the end of the day you decided to bring DJ Uiagalelei into Tallahassee, you made that decision that he was 99% going to be your starter heading into Dublin and into ACC play next year. And I think that's where we are. And I'm excited. You know, everyone remembers this time at Clemson, but looking at what, you know, Cade Klubnik has done at Clemson, maybe it's not the player. Maybe it's the coaching that's going on there. He had a really, really nice year at Oregon State. Really excited to have him at Florida State this year. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season for Florida State.
You mentioned Brock Glenn and Luke. I'll talk about them in just a moment. But as a follow-up on DJ, overall had a good day, made good decisions. Again, had some things that he could certainly work on and improve on. But again, it is first scrimmage of the spring.
So his fourth practice in pads? Yeah. I can't get too upset about that.
Long way to go. Brock had a touchdown to Benson down on the goal line. I want to talk more about Benson here in a moment. He might end up. I know that 247 has trademarked this phrase, so I don't mean to steal it from them, but If I had a vote on King of the Spring, it might end up going to Malik Benson. I'll give them the registered trademark, copyright trademark that Trey used to do. Brock had a touchdown. Luke looked really good. Just what I was told is shows very early signs of being that guy. Absolutely looks like a freshman. Needs to get bigger, needs to put weight on, needs to grow. People forget that he only played high school football, high school quarterback for 2 years. You know, when Mike found him and offered him, he hadn't even taken a snap at quarterback yet. That's ridiculous to think about the fact that he ended up as the number 33 player overall in the country, one spot out of being a five-star. But the quote that I got was that Luke looked live all day. Like he was, like he looks like he's that guy. He is really good. He does things that freshmen do, but, you know, I like Brock a lot. I'm not telling you that Luke is just automatically your 2025 starter, but I think he's got a chance to be. I don't want to make comparisons between Luke and other quarterbacks who have played here that came in with, you know, a near five-star rating, but I think he could be really, really special. I know it's one practice. I know it's one scrimmage that we're seeing and we're talking about, but the kid absolutely looks the part. Just the way he carries himself, the type of throws that he's able to make and the confidence that he has is pretty special. So I am excited for Luke long-term.
Yeah, and it's crazy because with the way you manage the roster, so like let's talk Derek Ray, Mike Norvell, right, Tony Tokars, you kind of have to decide who's next this season because the odds that Brock Glenn and Luke Grumenhawk are both in Tallahassee heading into the next season or after next spring, I think those are pretty low because they're both – Power Five starting quarterbacks, and Mike, Tony, you know, Derek, they have to make a decision. And that's just the crazy times we are in with college football, with unlimited transfers, and everybody wants their shot. It's just wild because I do think DJU is going to be your number one guy, but you kind of have to try and solidify your number two this season. Or even not if this season, heading into next season, having a good idea who it is. And that's just the way college football is in 2024, 2025, which is just nuts to me, TJ.
Yeah, I could see both of them sticking out at least through the spring next year. But then I think, you know, going into the spring, like if, you know, I could see a situation where like Brock wins the job next year and Luke sticks around. But I think if Luke was to win the job, not that he would necessarily win it in spring, but you could maybe find out or kind of know.
A Clint Trickett, Jameis Winston situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Does Brock stick around if all signs kind of point to Luke taking that job next year?
Good problem to have.
It's a much better situation than we were in, you know, 2020, 2021, and so through there. So talked about Malik Benson, talked about how smooth he looked. And really the Alabama guys I think are all going to translate really, really well. But Malik Benson, incredibly smooth. He did a great piece with the Battles In that you should go check out. We're going to talk about the Battles In here in a few minutes, but he did a really, really good piece with them that you should go check out. You should go kind of see what they had going on over there. He talked about the locker room between Alabama and here. I thought that, or what I've told is that he just looks incredibly natural out there. Looks like he belongs. There's a lot of questions around the wide receiver room. I think Florida State has a lot of guys that could be twos or threes a lot of places. I don't know that they have a number one wide receiver or that one has emerged yet. I'm obviously hoping that someone does, whether that be Kentron or Hakeem or Jaylen Brown or Malik Benson or Destin Hill. It doesn't really matter to me who that is. I just would, you know, love to see one emerge or I'd love to see one jump into the portal here in the spring window. Everybody's rumoring how crazy the portal could be when it opens up on April 15th. But heard really good things about Malik Benson. And then I'll give you one more, and then I'll pass it back your way a little bit to chat about some of it. Cam Davis is an absolute force, and he is going to get a lot of meaningful snaps this year. I know Florida State has a lot of running backs they like. I know they like LT. They featured him today on Twitter. They really like what they got in Roy Dell transferring in. They like Keziah Holmes, who had a nice hurdle in the scrimmage. But Cam Davis is like a five-star talent. And if he hadn't gotten a hurt, he probably would have finished as a five-star. Really, really impressive kid. And he absolutely looks the part.
Yeah, Cam Davis is the guy who looks like a junior who's been with Coach Storms for 2 years heading into the spring and this fall. Really excited about him. And, you know, the one thing, you know, when it comes to offensive linemen, tight ends sometimes, you know, several positions, you can't get super excited about a true freshman. Running back is a position you can get really excited about because they can contribute and make an impact instantly. And the way Cam Davis is built, he is going to get carries and going to impress a lot of people. I'm expecting big things out of him. Malik Benson, really excited about him because the question is, who is your wide receiver one right now, right? Obviously, Johnny and Keon are going to be playing on Sundays next season. And I'm really excited to see what Benson does, what Hakeem does. But to your point, TJ, Benson was the number one JUCO in the country when he went to Alabama. And now he decided to come to Florida State. He is an elite, elite talent. He has things that you cannot coach. And if Coach Dugans can channel some of that to really, you know, get everything out of him that he can get at the college level, he has a chance to be all ACC and potentially all American talent. Man, just a lot of excitement. This spring is so different because last year we knew what we had. Everyone came back, right? Now we have a lot of new talent, and Benson is definitely one guy that I really have my eyes on.
Defense won the day is how it was kind of described to me. You know, before we go all the way to defense, it sounded like there were some drops from the wide receivers, but that most of the guys who had drops kind of were able to clean that up and kind of make plays later. So, you know, I'm not here to call out every single person that had a drop, but there were some of that early. Defense honestly looked great. It's expected for defense to be the better unit early in spring camp. Marvin Jones Jr. looked really solid. D-line in general was pretty good. Daryl Jackson, no surprise based on what we heard out of last year in camp and practice, is on an absolute another level right now. Like, it is ridiculous what they think they can get out of that kid. For those not aware, Josh Farmer is banged up and not going to be in spring at all this year, but they said Daryl Jackson absolutely was lighting it up. Linebacker play was really good. Norvell talked about this a lot too, and I kind of asked my guy that was there, like, hey, is this legitimate? Like, were the linebackers really good, or was this kind of a situation where Norvell was hyping something up just to, because they weren't very good, you know, like how the coaches play reverse psychology. He's like, no. Lundy looked really good. Murphy looks like a baller. Some of the young guys were in, you know, making plays, a lot of effort and stuff, you know, between Blake and Cryer and others. But yeah, I think they were really excited with what they got out of a lot of the defensive play, especially up front. I mean, I think they really like what they have secondary too. I'll just round it out and tell you that I heard good things out of Devontae Brown, who I know a lot of people weren't in love with that pickup just because they know that he struggled this year at Miami, but it is nice to see what good coaching at the Power Five level could do. He had a really good couple of years at UCF. And so, man, I know it's really early. It's one scrimmage, but the way things looked out there, my guy said that he would, you know, he would pick Brown and Brown to start. So Devontae and Shaheem to be your starting safety. So impressed with the defense. I don't necessarily know if the defense is going to be as good as it was last year or not. You lost a ton of talent, but I do think they're a deep unit that can be really good this year.
Yeah, and I do think the defense can be as good as they were last year as a season, if you look at it, you know, for the full 13 games that Florida State played. But, you know, those last three games, especially after Jordan went down, that defense, I mean, that was one of the best. That Louisville game was one of the best defensive performances I've ever witnessed live at a Florida State football game. It's not even close. But I don't think the defense in 2024 is going to be that defense from that night in Charlotte. But I do think they have a chance to be just as good, maybe a little better than the collective of the 2023 season for Florida State. You know, obviously Farmer's out, and that's fine, man. Get rested and get ready for fall camp because we don't need him in the spring. We know what he is. He is an absolute beast. No surprise to hear about Jackson, you know, just tearing things up. This season for Jackson has to be something he's been waiting for forever. You know, since he got, it probably feels like forever. You know, he probably thought he was going to get a chance in the playoff. We're not going to go there. We already had that episode. Go look back and listen. It's X-rated. We're not going there again, but Jackson is someone I'm super excited about. I think, you know, for as much crap as Adam Fuller got year ones and two, he's showing he knows what he's doing. He has a process. He has a method. And if you follow that and let it play out, good results will happen. And I'm fully expecting a defense that will not cost us a game this year, right? In past years, you think, oh man, the defense cost us that one. That will not be the case this year. I'm really excited to see what this defense looks like.
You know, you think about last year, the way the defense finished the year. Yeah. Actually, the defense started the year really well, too. They gave up 17 points until that last-minute touchdown against the backups against
LSU. Malik Nabers who?
Yeah, they gave up I think the starting defense gave up 6 points to Southern Miss. They gave up 17 to BC, which I know that was a weird game.
Yeah.
They gave up 24 to Clemson, 10 to Virginia Tech, 3 to Syracuse, 13 to Duke, 16 to Wake, 7 to Pitt, 20 to Miami, again with that busted play.
Damn, that was a good defense. That really was.
13 to North Alabama, weird game to start. Like some of that came on a big trick play on that punt, fake punt. 15 to UF. 6 to Louisville, and then the season ended, and we don't have anything to talk about after that.
The last 12 quarters of the season, they gave up, I think it was one touchdown, and it was gifted to the refs against Florida by the worst pass interference ever I've ever seen, because that would have been a field goal.
Yeah. The last 10 quarters, yeah.
10 quarters, yeah.
It was ridiculous what they were able to pull off, and they really did all year. I think a lot of times you look back at last year, and people think about how the offense didn't live up to what you wanted at all times. And so, but the defense absolutely did. The defense was there every single week and really played well. Even so that good. BC game where you're like, oh man, I mean, you had the fumble six that happened against BC. You had a short field due to another turnover that gave BC points. I mean, the defense was even, pretty good in that Boston College game. And then it eventually got you off the field when they looked like they were starving back. So the last note that I had from the scrimmage, Richie, that, Keandre Jones was a name that was mentioned to me. He said that he had a really good day on the offensive line. Wouldn't be surprised if he slid in and got a starting guard spot. We'll see. Long way to go. But that was another name that was mentioned to me on the offensive line. Got some guys banged up on the offensive line. Rob Scott is the one that comes to mind immediately. But some really good stuff there. Speaking of the battle's end, Harlan, you can keep the clip rolling on this one. The battle's end. Did you see the bricks they're doing, Richie? We'll give this a go. The different memorabilia from Doak. Like, I know, don't make this whole thing comments about how they're screwing you out of your family seats that you had forever. I've read all those comments. I do feel bad, but there's nothing I can do about it. A cool thing I saw was people going to the battle's end, buying the memorabilia, the signs, the different things there from Doak, and the money goes back to the battle's end. That's a great, way to do things. Like, that was really smart by Ingram Smith and the team over there at TBE. If you're not supporting the battle's end, we continue to ask you to do that. But if you refuse to do that and you refuse to listen to our begs there, go to their YouTube and subscribe. They put out really good content with a lot of the guys. You are supporting them by tuning in and checking out that content. But are you buying a brick, Richie? Are you gonna get one of those signs with the section numbers, or what's your plan there?
So I'm very interested to see what happens here, because so next Sunday, a week from today, is my anniversary. It's 7 years and it's copper. I'm curious if there's any copper in those bricks, because if there is, my wife will be buying me a brick. I will not be buying one, but we will have one over my right shoulder right here, and I'm excited about that. But I think that's, what a smart idea. You could just demolish the area, get rid of everything. No, give the fans a piece of history where things like the choke at Doak, where you were down 31-3 happened, different games like that, where, one of my favorite games in 2010, when Florida State beat Florida for the first time in 5 years after Florida scored the opening touchdown and Florida State wins 31-7 and Christian Ponder's doing the Gator chomp running into the tunnel. So much history. I think this is an awesome idea. Shout out Florida State and the Battle's End for this.
Yeah, really cool. If you're not a member of the Battle's End, we would encourage you to go do that. If you're not subscribed to their YouTube or following them on social media, we would encourage you to do that as well. But if you refuse to do all of that and you want a piece of Doak from the renovations, you can go get it online. I'll find the link and I'll put it in the description as well of this video. And you can go support that way. So, all right. That's a good place to transition, Harlan, and we will keep rolling. with everything else we have. We won't be too much longer. I know it's Easter. We'll get you guys back to your family and whatever you're watching, Elite Eight or whatever. FSU versus the ACC, the latest filing that came out. I talked with Doug Rohan about it, who I saw was out at the baseball game this weekend, the Friday and Saturday games, as the Noles beat NC State to – or no, beat Louisville.
Louisville, yeah.
To win their second ACC series. Florida State updated some language, sent in a couple more requests to the judge before the April 9th hearing that will be in Tallahassee, and essentially said that they could leave the conference, and as soon as they do, the ACC no longer has the rights to their media contract. Like, that is when the rights are given up. They said the language of the contract says that ESPN owns the rights as long as a member is part of the conference, and the ACC is going to argue that. They're going to say that that's not the case, but as we talked about with Doug in prior episodes, which if you're listening to this on podcast form, you need to go and check those out on YouTube if you haven't already. The ACC, I think that's going to be a really big point for Florida State. I think that's going to be something that helps them a ton, because the ACC cannot – I don't really understand what their argument would be to that. I don't understand how the ACC could really argue against that, because – if they do, then, you know, the $400 million that they are going to say the grant of rights is worth, that's a penalty that they're assessing to Florida State. And I don't think you can do that in the state of Florida. So anyway, all that said, like, I think that's going to be what gets Florida State out of this grant of rights. I think that's what's going to be the linchpin that gets them out. Clemson filed that as well, very similarly, when they filed 2 weeks ago. I think that was really, really strong, and I think it's probably what's going to get a settlement done faster, because I think the ACC knows they're kind of screwed there.
Yeah, and I think the ACC, they know their conference is crumbling, right? They know Florida State's gone, Clemson's gone, North Carolina is probably gone, and then add in likely Virginia, Miami, and anyone basically who has a landing spot in the Big Two. Miami probably does not have a guaranteed landing spot in the Big Two. But to your point, TJ, that was Clemson. That was one of their main arguments was, yeah, you own our rights for any ACC play. And TJ and I are not lawyers, you know, so we love following this just like all of you guys do. But go back and watch TJ's video with Doug Rohan, because in any new video he posts with Doug, you're going to want to watch, because Doug Rohan does a phenomenal job covering this. Give him a follow on Twitter. TJ and I both follow him, so you can easily find him. But yeah, you know, I think Florida State is throwing everything at the ACC to where I think it's going to be a death of 1,000 paper cuts for the ACC to where they just finally say, all right, let's find a number. Is it 200 million? Is it 150 million? I think Florida State, they're going to try and get out for free. I don't see that happening, but I think they're going to get out for a far reduced rate than what we initially thought, TJ.
You know, I still think it's probably going to be in the realm of 100 to 150 to 200, anywhere from like 100 to 200 million is kind of where I'm landing at this point. The number that I've heard tossed around is 150 is what Florida State likes. I think that with what's come out lately, I think that they could get out for even less. Again, not an attorney. It's tough. You know, I'm basing that on some speculation, some, you know, here's what I've been told, some just kind of deductive reasoning. But I think if you could get out, I mean, honestly, right now, the grant of right or the exit fee is 120, which is exorbitant. And Florida State is arguing that.
Yeah.
But I think if you just pay the grant of rights and I'm sorry, if you just pay the exit fee, the grant of rights is not locking you in. Like, you just leave. The rights don't mean anything. And so you pay the exit fee and you're done. And that's basically what, you know, I mumbled through it. But essentially, that's what FSU is arguing, is like the grant of rights. You can't hold us to the grant of rights, because the grant of rights only applies to conference members. If we pay the $120 million and leave, which we're fighting as well, because it's three times the amount of the SEC or Big Ten or Big 12, the grant we don't owe anything past that. The grant of rights applies to conference members. So we pay our exit fee and we go. And so our agreement with the grant of rights is not with, you know, we're not in business with ESPN. That's their problem to figure that out. And so if Florida State could get out for the $120 million that is the exit fee, I mean, I think they would settle for that. But if you could settle for less and you could be around 100, then why not, right?
Let me put you on the spot here. We texted about this a little bit and talked earlier this week, TJ. What are the odds that Florida State plays their schedule as is for 2024, starting off with Georgia Tech and Dublin, but not as a member of the ACC, as the independent?
So I did a video on this on our national channel, and I got a lot of heat for it. And
everybody
that was upset about that, I'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing.
All right, Connor.
So in that video, I think I said 75%. I'd probably back off that just a little bit. And honestly, like, I'd say it comes down to like 50-50. Here's what I think it comes down to. Does the ACC pay us last year's revenue? If the ACC pays us last year's revenue, then I think we'd play in the ACC.
And what's the deadline on that so the listeners know?
I want to say payments are typically made in like June or July.
And that's when they do the Amelia Island meetings, right?
I think the Amelia Island meetings are in May, if I remember correctly.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I think because I think the fiscal year is done. The year is over June 30th. And that's, you know, Cal, Stanford, and SMU join on July 1st. I believe I haven't gotten a solid answer on this because Florida State doesn't tell you like, oh, we got the check from the ACC on this day. You know, like that's not, you know, it's, but I believe it's in like June or July. If they don't, if something came up and they didn't pay that, I think Florida State's going to not play in the ACC. I think they're going to say, we leave, we're out, we'll auction our rights off. You're paying us pennies on the dollar anyway.
Take the patches off the jerseys. Let's go.
I'm with it.
I'm here for it.
I probably lean a little more towards they will play. I do think playing as independent is a possibility. If you want to put that as a 1% possibility or a 99% possibility, I don't think it's completely off the table. I don't think that it's a surefire certainty. We got some questions back on that. I know that most people that watch that national channel are probably not listening to this, but I'll at least answer them just out loud in the ether. That way they exist. I, you know, can say that I did answer it. A lot of people say, well, the schedules are already made up. You wouldn't have time to fit. No, you'd play the same exact schedule that you were playing. Some people that saw that then answered and said the ACC would not let you play against their teams. The quick rebuttal to that is that the ACC could not, like all 12 opponents of FSU could not find replacement games to be able to play because all the other schedules are locked in. So they would have to, you would have to play FSU. Like nobody has an open date week 10 right now where they could just slot another team in, right? All of the other 132 teams in the FBS already have games scheduled. So that's not an option. The other thing is if the ACC truly went to the other members of the conference said, you're not allowed to play FSU. We're going to lock them out this year. That would get struck down in a court of law because we are a open market, a free market society. You cannot tell an institution that they cannot make money, especially when they already had a game on the books scheduled. A judge would absolutely side with the other members of the ACC and Florida State and say, no, these games can happen. You can't tell your conference members. There's no precedent for you to tell conference members that they can't play against a certain team just because you're being petty or you're mad at them or they did you wrong. Even if Florida State did them wrong and a judge said, no, you can't leave like that because you left, you owe this amount of money, they could not tell other members they couldn't play them. And so, yeah, the Florida State would play the exact same schedule. You would have to not reschedule anything. It just would be as an independent, and you would play the 12 games you have scheduled right now as an independent, and hopefully you'd beat Notre Dame on the road because they ain't putting two independents into the playoffs. So that would be the big one there. So chances are low, but I do think it's possible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see what happens. And my goodness, I just got a notification. Caitlin Clarkman for 29 points and 15 assists. Completely unrelated, but just had to mention that. You know, the one tournament's been a lot of fun too. But yeah, the schedule, I do think the biggest point of contention would be if Florida State does play as an independent in the ACC, do they say, yeah, I know you're, you know, 7-1 in ACC play and have earned a spot in Charlotte, but we're going to take a 6-2 Louisville or Miami over you. Would that happen? That's where it gets interesting. But I think Florida State, if they're 11-1, where they're, you know, 7-1 in conference, I think they're still in the playoff at that point, because they're, ESPN's not stupid. They're going to want Florida State because that talking point alone is great for ratings. So I don't think Florida State's in a bad position regardless here, TJ.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. And do I think that this absolutely happens? Not necessarily. Is Florida State in a phenomenal position right now?
And yes.
Yes. Like, the answer is yes to that. So, speaking of the ACC, do you cheer for or against these ACC teams in the NCAA tournament, Richie?
I cheer against pretty much all of them, but I'm all on board the NC State train. I want them to keep winning and winning. I just think it's a great story. It's a team. It's what I love about college basketball. I've loved college basketball my entire life. The fact that they were entering the ACC tournament, NC State was out. They weren't even the last four out or the last eight out or last 12 out. They had to win the ACC tournament to get in. They did it. And now here they are in the Elite Eight against Duke. I'm not cheering for the ACC. I'm cheering for NC State to beat Duke in the Elite Eight. I just love their story and how they have a player that is focusing on Ramadan, who's fasting and still playing in all these games, and just, it doesn't matter. They keep winning. So no, ACC, I don't care. ACC can go to hell. I am all in on NC State though at this point. I think they are America's team right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Like, NC State is a team that I'm cheering for because it's pulling upsets. It does, I mean, shout out Hunter. It does break my heart a little bit that Boo Corrigan gets any kind of joy out of that. Like, when they finally lose, I will tweet him. Like, sucks to suck. At least your team got a chance to play.
Oh, I think I'm blocked by him, so I don't know.
You are?
I think so.
Oh, man. Well, not me yet. So maybe I will after this weekend. But, yeah, I've enjoyed cheering for, or, you know, following along with NC State. They've been fun. I don't know that it's going to matter with UConn, you know, being on this planet. Yeah. And then it's like, I wanted Clemson to lose the other night. But
yeah, I don't care about Clemson at all.
They ended up winning, and that's fine. And now they're playing Alabama, and I'm certainly, like, I'm not, like, go ACC, but I like the SEC losing. Like, that's just,
you know, my household. It's Roll Tide tonight, baby.
Nah, I like when the SEC loses. So, I would prefer Clemson wins that. I'm glad UNC lost. I don't want Clemson winning the national title. I don't necessarily want NC State winning the national title. The NC State winning the national title wouldn't hurt me that bad because they are just kind of like fun to watch. But those are my thoughts there. Did Clemson trade elite basketball for elite football, or the other way, right? Traded elite football for elite basketball.
I don't even think Clemson's elite at basketball. They're just having a hell of a run in March, which is awesome. We've all had it. Florida State's had it as a not super high seed. I think Clemson's just like, there's a reason they filed that lawsuit, because they realized their athletic department is in trouble, right? Their football team is not what it was for the previous 10 years. You know, their softball team is solid. Baseball, not great. Okay. I don't know. No, their baseball team is really good, actually. Never mind that. It's funny. But Clemson, they're in the same boat as Florida State. Like, we have to get out of the ACC. I don't know. I've never had a bad time at Clemson. I've been up there for several football games. Their fans are super awesome. I hope we both get out of this conference together, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make Clemson my enemy on this, but I think I saw a tweet from Max, our Python Livingston, that he tweeted in 2022 that was like Florida State and Clemson passing each other on, you know, trading football for basketball, but going the other way. And, you know, Clemson's football
seems to be
on its downturn. And
hey, I'm all for it if that's the case.
Florida State basketball seems to be on its downturn, while it's Florida State football trending up and Clemson football trending down a little. So I don't know. Just poke a little fun their way. But yeah, I agree. Brothers in arms to get out of this crap hole conference. But quick around the horn, Florida State baseball and softball swept this weekend. Women's tennis won on Friday. Men's tennis won. You're right.
Louisville took game two.
Yeah, Louisville won game two. Baseball won the series. Sorry. Harlan will always catch me on that, but that's better. Then I'll have seven people.
I love how Harlan's just chilling the whole show, and he's like, TJ, you're lying.
Harley just sitting over there drinking scotch and catching me in lies. Yeah, baseball won the series. Softball swept. Men's and women's tennis both won. A lot of good stuff going on with Florida State athletics these days. So good to see the baseball team. Also, I know it was earlier in the week, but also beat the heck out of Florida and run rule them in Jacksonville. So
yes,
always something that people can get into. Rich, you got any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Shout out my guy, Brooks Koepka. He paid for the Florida State men's golf team to take a private jet to a tournament that they won it last week, which is awesome. And he'll be teeing off at Live Miami starting Thursday or Friday. So yeah, shout out Brooks. He always, people don't realize how much he takes care of the golf program because he never promotes it. He never wants any, you know, intention or anything like that. But I'm a huge fan of Brooks, and to see him continuing to give back to the golf team, you know, he flew a private jet for Johnny Pack to take up his basically Heisman of college golf, his senior year. So just a huge fan of Brooks, and good luck to him at Live Miami this weekend.
I don't think I have any shout outs. Shout out everybody celebrating Easter, with your family, and,
yes,
thankful for this holiday and what it means. So, we have a bunch of content coming out on YouTube this week. Make sure you go subscribe over there. And if not, we will talk to you next Sunday. Go Noles.
Let's go.